Thanks for being with us tonight on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Janice Sharp, mother of Gary McKinnon, about this unusual case, this computer hacker case that's led to an international extradition battle. You know, and I'm sure there are people at home saying, look, the guy admits he hacked into these computers. He needs to be punished. Punished, I think Janice would agree there is punishment. They've been battling it for 8 years now, trying to keep him in his own country, and she would welcome the opportunity for him to be punished there as their law previously provided for extradition to the U.S. to face perhaps 70 years in prison, which, according to Janice, given Gary McKinnon's health and emotional problems, would eventually lead to a death sentence, would in essence be a death sentence for him. So, those who say he needs to be punished, does he need to be put to death? I'm not sure you'd go that far. And what about the disinformation angle? If he's able to hack into these computers, is it possible it was some sort of a ruse, a reverse Trojan horse, disinformation put out by our government to attract hackers and things of that sort? I'm sure it's occurred to Janice as she's mulled this over the past several years. We'll get into those topics and more and open up the phone lines for your questions right after this break on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Janice Sharp is our guest. You know, here in the United States, as we mentioned earlier, this is barely a blip on the public radar screen. In Britain, however, it's a huge story. You have people like Sting and Graham Nash and David Gilmour and Chrissie Hynde working on behalf of Gary McKinnon and his family, trying to keep him from being extradited to the U.S. Janice, I'm wondering, have you thought about the possibility that this was a setup, that our government sort of made it easy for people like Gary to break into these computers and find information that's not really true? Or is it, could it be it's a double reverse sort of a setup?
Now, some people say that. I don't actually know if it's true. If it was, I would have thought they would have arrested him earlier, because although they say it was immediately after 9/11, it wasn't. They didn't actually weren't aware of anything, I think, until December or January. So I would have thought if it was a setup, they would have arrested him earlier. But I mean, I really don't know. It's a possibility. When what else has happened is they say that Gary shut down the computers. And this was very dangerous for them. But at the last court hearing, we got a computer expert, Professor Peter Summers, who does a lot of work for the police here. And he said that the $800,000 of damage they said Gary did, he said was for firewalls and security that they should have had in place, that that's basically what it was for. And I mean, most banks and everything have backup systems, so I can't imagine the government really would have to shut down its systems and not have a backup system. That doesn't seem feasible. And if Robert Gates said there's thousands of intrusions every month, they have to have a backup system. I mean, this is a world superpower we're talking about. They couldn't not have, you know. And even the damage, in order to, when Gary did that, it wasn't an extraditable offense. And in order to make it extraditable, they had to claim $5,000 of damage in each machine. And lo and behold, they claimed exactly $5,000 of damage in each machine. But as I say, had they applied for extradition in 2002, they would have had to have proved that. But by waiting and until late 2004, 2005, before requesting the extradition, they no longer have to prove, give any evidence at all. So they can extradite anyone from here now with no evidence. And that seems against anybody's rights in any case. I mean, what's happened to our country that but we're the only country in the world, no other country in the world apart from Britain will do this. And I think I cannot believe we've been sold out in this way. This still shocks me, and it shocks a lot of British people. Why would your own government that you vote in, people have died in many wars to protect basic freedoms and rights, why on earth would your own government go and sign a treaty that says you can take any British citizen and we don't need any evidence? I mean, I could have negotiated a better treaty. It's ludicrous, you know?
When you mentioned this $800,000 figure that alleged damages caused,
Yeah.
as I thought you explained it, that really means that's $800,000 our government spent to install firewalls and protections that should have been there before Gary tried to hack into these computers.
Yeah, that's what the Professor Peter Summers said. He looked at it and he said that it's for basic security that should have been there in the first place. He said that any sort of business or bank would flag that up and have that security. So he feels that, you know, that's what it is. And as I say, if they would have to have proved it in 2002. Why didn't they ask for the extradition? Because they indicted Gary then. They put out the arrest warrant then. Why didn't they ask for extradition then? It's because they would have to have proved the damage, and Gary didn't do the damage. But to wait, be allowed to wait. We have a thing here that you have to charge within 28 days or you can't. So it makes a mockery of us fighting. There was a big fight recently over here with politicians. They were trying to make it 48 days. And it's remained 28 days. And it makes a mockery of it if we can let another country wait for 3 years before, you know, doing it. It just seems everything seems upside down at the moment. The political climate has changed so much. I know it has in America too. I mean, everything seems so upside down here at the moment.
Well, you know, I think you could make the argument that if our government thought those computers were secure, somebody like Gary, with his limited computer skills, could hack into them and obtain this information. You can almost say he did them a favor by demonstrating clearly that their computers were not very secure. Because if you think if he could get into it, and someone like the Chinese government, which is always making attempted cyber war intrusions into our computers, the Russians, whomever, that they could certainly do it a lot easier than Gary could.
Well, Gary left messages, and Gary said that when he was there, there were people from other countries there, including countries like China and Russia, and apparently China is still sort of in there, but which is why I think Obama's made a really sensible decision to hire hackers to actually look after the security, because a lot of people, other hackers, do these kind of things. It's almost like a challenge, and it's okay saying people shouldn't do that, but you're going to have kids come up, and in the corner of the bedroom or whatever, they've got this computer, and it's like a door to another world. And human nature has always explored. It is human nature to explore and push the boundaries to find things out. And to travel in cyberspace to a lot of, not just children, but adults, it's an incredible adventure. You're not going to stop it. You can't stop it by threatening. Basically, security has to be tighter. And if people have got a sort of affinity with computers or are obsessed in that way, why not let them be the ones to actually look after the security and make sure that there isn't any unfriendly nations or people who would do damage, make sure that they cannot get in. So I think Obama's idea of hiring former hackers or hackers to look after security is a fantastic idea.
I want to ask one more question, Janice, and then we'll go to the phone lines, if that's okay with you. Yep. It's about these death threats. You mentioned them in passing. How many death threats have come in? Who have they come in to, in addition to you? I guess you mentioned journalists. And what do they say?
Well, it's a man who said that he worked for the U.S. Embassy. He used to have a site over a website here, and he used to talk about going to funerals with George Bush. I remember him from before death threats. From 2008, I remember because he was calling Gary a terrorist, and I thought he did because of the sort of things that he had on his website at that time, talking about going to funerals with George Bush and different things. I thought it sounded as though he did, but I mean, as a detective said, he could have been the janitor in the embassy. I mean, who knows what,
sure.
If he even works in it? You know, I mean, that's his claim. But it's come from America. It's come from this one person, and he initially threatened any journalist that supported Gary, and he also said that he would that they would kill people in America, English people in America, and that they were watching us over here. And it hadn't come to me, and it was only before Christmas that I got one saying, yeah, we can hack too, we can hack you into little pieces. And that basically we had done a demonstration in town, and he said that him and his people were watching me and that they can really F me up and all things like that. And then we got another one that threatened someone else who's fighting extradition, a young Jewish guy, and he says, yeah, Gary and that Jew are going to die. And it's really nasty. It's getting more nasty as it goes on, but it is one person, and I'm not scared. I mean, to be honest, I'm not scared. The person is in America, and they're investigating it just now. But to be honest, probably nothing will happen because, as I say, there is a different mindset here, and they'll just say, oh, he's a fantasist or an extremist, and nothing will happen.
Regardless of whether it happens or not, that's pretty disgusting.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful. And the whole tone of his thing is worse than that. But the whole tone of it is awful. And he was very... I think the reason that the last one was the nastiest was because they got the judicial review, and he was really angry with about the judge, and he was really angry at everyone. And so it's actually been getting worse and worse. And, I mean, the young Jewish guy that's been extradited, he sold chemicals, electronic components online, and it was perfectly legal, and it was sort of normal components. But one of them was used in a bomb, a roadside bomb abroad. So he's getting extradited. And there's a couple in Scotland who've got five children. They were selling chemicals online, and all sorts of chemicals. They were registered with the government, with the Home Office. Everything was above board. And but they included in all the things they sold iodine and red phosphorus. And in America, some people used, or it was labeled for medical use only, and some people in America used it to make a drug called crystal meth.
Yes, methamphetamine, and, sure. Yep.
And they're extraditing the couple as opposed to, they should be prosecuting the people that did that, but there's a couple are fighting extradition to Arizona, I think it is. But you see, extradition was traditionally used for murder and the like. And as I say, our government signed this and we were told it was for terrorists. And that's not what's happening. It's so extreme. Our society is becoming so extreme. I mean, even when we had the IRA here and we had bombs going off in North London and we had bombs going off in Harrods and policemen were blown to bits, we didn't have this kind of paranoia about everything, and we didn't block off Downing Street, and we didn't have great big concrete posts, and we didn't have security. We've got more surveillance in this country than all other countries, and it's a little country like Britain. It's all, in a way, we're letting the terrorists win because it's changing our lifestyle so much. And
well, our world,
if it changes it, we're letting them win.
Our world certainly has changed, Janice. We're going to the phones, if that's okay with you. Our international line, Alex in Toronto. Good morning, Alex.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just one thing, Janet. Downing Street was closed off to tourists and was secured long before 9/11 or 7/7. Okay, that's a little bit of an error in factuality there. It was locked off before then. Jenna, my question for you is this. If extradition is successfully beaten and it doesn't happen, given the anti-American climate in the UK right now, is it your son, would he even face a trial? Or would there be a barrister or a solicitor who would say it's been more than 28 days? How dare the Americans try to do this? And would he even face trial? And if he did in the UK, I mean, honestly, do you think there's any possibility that he would be convicted of any kind of crime against the United States?
I think he would face a trial, and I think that the sentence would be proportionate to the crime. And I don't think there's an anti-American feeling. I think there's anti-American government policy and also anti-British policy. It's not just anti-American at all. American people are really good, and a lot of them, Chrissy Hynde's American, she's standing up for Gary. The thing is that it's our government and what they're doing, both governments, and how they're clamping down and how our world's changing is what people are angry at. People are basically standing up for freedoms, not against individual citizens. And Downing Street being closed off, I said after the IRA, not after 9/11. It was when the IRA, long before that, it wasn't closed off.
No, Janet. What you said is even during the troubles with the IRA, they did not close down the street off. That's what you said.
That's right.
Which was factually incorrect because they did close it down during then. But let's not split hairs. Okay, fair enough. I disagree. Now, I certainly think your son does not deserve 70 years in jail. Absolutely. I think there's a little fear mongering there. But I go to America all the time, and I tell you what, you're not going to find more just and decent people on this planet than you will in the United States. I go there all the time and I meet them. I don't think there's a jury in America who would lock your son up or a judge for 70 years for that. But no matter what, I wish you well. Have a good
night. Thank you. Thank you.
By the way, Alex, good point. Her name is Janice and not Janet. And, but you know, the idea that Gary would get a free pass from the judicial system in Britain, so far that hasn't been the case. I mean, you've got this high court that just agreed to have a judicial review of the Home Secretary's decision, but so far in the courts, Gary has lost pretty much every step of the way as the extradition process moved on. East of the Rockies, Clifton in Wisconsin. Hi, Clifton. Clifton, you there? Okay, Debbie on East, the East of the Rockies line. Hi, Debbie.
Hello. Yes,
hi.
A very important point here. I'm very much behind this woman and her son, and I think that what a big important thing here is that, you know, you need to prove the intention of what the situation was here with him. And I guess I just want to point out, I mean, with our government alone, and quite a few people agree with it, that from the very top official on down, including all parties, there are so many crimes being put against our, you know, us, the average citizen, that far more than what this her son has done. And I think she had mentioned before about, you know, kids and stuff going in and just kind of testing to see what they can do and their, how far they can get with something, you know, what's kind of that curiosity thing. So it goes back again to the attention. I think it was really an innocent type thing here that's being really taken advantage of to extremes here, just ridiculously.
Janice, any comments on that?
No, I appreciate totally the caller's response and attitude. I'm so pleased that you have the understanding of it. I agree. I think if somebody has murdered someone or done some heinous crime, it's a whole different story. But we have to get things in perspective. It's been blown out of proportion is what frightens me. And it frightens me because Gary was silly and left these terrible notes. That's what scares me. Because crime, a sentence is meant to be a deterrent. If you don't know what the sentence is, how can it be a deterrent? If no one's ever been extradited for this, how can you possibly know what kind of how seriously it would be looked at, or that you would actually face such a huge sentence? That is a maximum sentence. It's 10 years per count, and the maximum is actually 60 years, although it's 7 counts, the maximum 60 years. But it's terrifying. And also, most cases in America go to plea bargain. I mean, you could be threatened with 60, but say take 30. And if Gary did 30 years, I would never see him again. I'd be dead, you know.
Right. And I just think that this is so extremely unfair, because the people who do far, far less crimes and they're, you know, perpetrated towards something just get off so easy. And so many of our political officials have, in the past and presently, are doing things. And this is just horrendous. This is just a mockery and an insult against the intelligence of the common people here, of what the political people in power can do, you know, if they want, if they're been shown their little bit of a weakness. And it's just very one-sided.
Thanks, Debbie, in Toledo.
Good luck.
Appreciate the call. You know, Janice, we're about to go to a break here again. I can't imagine what an 8-year legal battle must cost. If that had happened in this country, it would be enough to bankrupt any normal family. You're not a wealthy family, are you?
No, but Gary's got the best solicitors in the world. He's so lucky. He's got an amazing solicitor, Karen Todner. He's got a brilliant barrister, and they work flat out for Gary. They do things for him all the time. I mean, when we get the first good news in the court, Gary's solicitor cried, Karen cried. How many solicitors cry for you? I mean, we're just so, they know Gary's a decent person, and they've fought so hard for him. I mean, the European Court of Rights refused to give Gary a stay, but they gave a stay to Abu Hamza. Now, Abu Hamza, I don't know if you know about him, but he's a man that was found to be, they believe, was responsible for deaths of British school teachers in the Yemen and so on. Sorry, that's just going off now.
An apt comparison there. We're talking with Janice Sharp, mother of Gary McKinnon. We'll come back with more of your questions right after this on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a lot of callers on the lines with questions for my guest, Janice Sharp, about the Gary McKinnon case. However, one in particular has caught our attention. This is a person from NASA, and it's a name that Janice knows well. And when we come back, we'll get right to it. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for being with us tonight. We're in our final segment with Janice Sharp talking about the Gary McKinnon case, and we have on Wildcard 3 line Clark, a friend of yours, Janice, who has helped you in the past. Clark,
are
you there?
Hello, Janice. This is Clark McClellan.
Hello, Clark. It's really nice to talk to you.
I've tried numerous times to have you or whomever make aware your attorneys, doctors, whomever else, of my website.
Yep.
Especially one section that has what I was able to see in the space shuttle payload bay, an 8 to 9 foot tall giant.
Yep.
Now, my alone saying that wouldn't be much because I didn't have any testimony by another witness that night. But then I was made aware a few months, 3, 4, 5 weeks later, that another person was in touch with me that had seen an 8 to 9 foot tall creature inside the crew compartment of the space shuttle.
Yeah.
So there are two cases there. That Gary, I'm not saying he did what he did was right because I live here. But I'm trying to show that there are things like that out there. I have personally seen them and another witness. And also, when I went to Patrick Air Force Base south of Cape Canaveral, they have a secrecy level that is cosmic in terms, a secrecy level that would match non-terrestrial officers if they do exist.
Clark, why don't you explain to the audience who you are and when you what you did for NASA?
All right, let me clear my throat. I just
okay.
Woke up. I was a spacecraft operator, SCO. SCO for the space shuttle fleet. And I was, prior to SCO duties, I was doing duties monitoring the missions on orbit. I've seen UFOs or whatever else you want to call them, fast walkers, whatever, numerous times when I was out there at this top secret room. I was there during the STS-48 mission, where there was a shot of a weapon from Earth at craft that were in orbit through, around Earth. And so I'm a witness of all those things. I've written many books on this, but no one worldwide will publish what I say. The reason is they can't make me look like a nutball.
My past
background is too extensive with people like Walter Cronkite, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, people like that saying who I am, and the women astronauts too. So they can't allow what I know out.
Clark, I don't want to get too far afield from the Gary story. Janice, has Clark been able to help you in your fight?
Well, yeah, Clark believes the same things as Gary does, and Edgar Mitchell, I think it was Clark was referring to, who was an astronaut who said he spoke to aliens, and Gary did see he saw a list of non-terrestrial officers. So it's very much along the same lines, but we can't use that in the defense. I mean, you're not allowed to give anything in your defense anymore. Basically, and now if someone wants you, they only have to prove that you are who you are. And the only way you can fight extradition here is human rights. That's the only thing that's left, because we can no longer challenge any legal things whatsoever. That's what this treaty means, that basically if someone says, I want you, they can have us. That's what's happened. So, unfortunately, we're not able to use that information to help Gary at all.
Clark, we appreciate you calling in. Well, send me an email. We'll see about getting you onto the program at a future date.
I've been asked by Nori and a lot of other people to be getting on these various programs, whatever else. I'm not sure if I'd do that or not yet, George. But hold on. Give me your email again.
My, you can email me here at Coast to Coast. It's on the website, or you can email me at my work address. I would ask people, please don't flood me at that site with emails, because I keep those two separate positions as separate as possible. But it's gnap@klastv.com. Thanks, Clark. Thanks for calling
thanks,
in.
Clark. Thank you for your support. Thank you.
Janice, where's Gary now? What kind of shape's he in?
Very bad. He's had, I mean, mentally, he's had a bad breakdown. And what he said is that he can't look into his own eyes in the morning when he's shaving. He feels as though there's a veil between the world he's walking through, and it's a world that's ready to end. And when I spoke to the psychiatrist about this, he said that the reason Gary can't look into his own eyes in the morning is because he's detaching so much from himself. Basically what it is if you're under pressure, you have fight or flight. That's what you do. You either fight or you flee. The next thing is suicide. If you don't commit suicide, this is me, not the professor said this, what it means is it's almost a form of mental suicide because you have to escape. You cannot cope with this level of stress every waking moment. It's impossible. But the professor has actually put Gary on medication, and we're kind of, I was always anti-medication. I don't think it's a good route to go down, but at this moment in time, it was necessary because Professor Simon Baron-Cohen, who's one of the most famous people here to do with Asperger syndrome and autism, he said that Gary spoke to him and Gary was seriously suicidal. We didn't know this because Gary wasn't able to open up to us about this, but fortunately, he is able to speak to Simon Baron-Cohen and a Professor Jeremy Turk. And I'm so glad we had those people around because if we didn't, I don't think we would have had Gary. He felt that he had caused us all these problems and that we would be better off without him. And that is the furthest thing from the truth because Gary couldn't possibly in a million years have known it would lead to this. It's so surreal and it's like living in some sort of weird film. You could never imagine that this kind of thing could happen through what he's done. Well, I couldn't have, you know.
Well, I can understand why Gary has turned down requests for interviews. I've tried to get him a bunch of times, but if I were his lawyer, I would be advising that he not go on the air and say too much to irritate the authorities here either.
Well, Gary can't. He's not capable of doing interviews at the moment. I mean, he just doesn't. It's too hard for him. Gary can't speak about this. I can't talk to Gary about it. He can't hear about it. As I say, how can you be in that heightened state of stress for this length of time? And if we did it to an animal, it would be considered inhumane. And I think for our government to say, well, certain things aren't against your human rights, well, we'd have to have a pretty low standard of human rights not to realise that to keep someone in that heightened state of stress. And people say, well, that's your fault for fighting it. But that's not the case because the government waited 3 years before requesting the extradition. So that's a big part to do with it as well. But I worry about Gary very much because what worries me is even if this does end up okay and he does end up staying here, which I've always had a strong feeling that he will he ever be back to the Gary he was? Will he ever be able to fully come back? I'm scared that this goes so, the mental thing, it gets so severe that we lose a huge part of Gary in any case. It's very sad to see such... obviously, I'm his mum, but I mean, not only me, newspapers tried to find ex-friends, girlfriends to put Gary down. No one will. He had a girlfriend who rang into one of the radio shows here. It was the first girlfriend he had when he was 16. She was 15, and we haven't heard from her for years. And she said, Gary's always been vulnerable. He was always a UFO fanatic. She said, my heart breaks for him. This was a girl who knew him when she was 15, and she saw him as vulnerable then. And unfortunately, everyone that Gary's known is supportive. We're incredibly lucky. He's never been involved in any crime. He's never, you know, we're really lucky in that.
Boy, I'll tell you, I can just imagine if the investigators ever had to go back and ask all my ex-girlfriends some questions, I might be locked up without a trial. we're going to go to the wild card line, Dale in Bismarck, North Dakota. Hi, Dale. How you doing?
Good morning, George. Janice?
Hello.
I wanted to ask you, Janice, if you have made any attempts to appeal for help from prominent politicians of other European governments who have released their UFO files to the public, maybe sympathetic to your cause, and also, if so, if you've had any, been given any support at all from them to pressure the U.S. to stop the extradition process or to allow Gary to be prosecuted in the U.K. or to have the charges mitigated by a third party?
I haven't actually appealed to any others, but many years, several years ago, I think about four, the new Italian government sent a delegation to present a letter to our government in Downing Street asking that they won't extradite Gary. And that came as a surprise to me. It wasn't anything to do with us. They did this of their own accord. and I was really pleased about that. But no, perhaps I should. I haven't thought of going down that route. Perhaps I should have, or should do now.
I would encourage you to do that on the humanitarian aspect and civil rights, human rights aspect of it. Please do so, and I sympathize with your cause, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks. I will do that.
For Gary as well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dale. You know, it occurred to me, Janice, as you mentioned Hillary Clinton coming to London, I guess, at the end of the month.
Yeah.
She has an ongoing interest in this topic. I mean, you know, it's pretty well documented that she has an interest in it. It would be worthwhile to try to get some sort of a message to her. I would think she'd take an interest in the case.
What, on UFOs?
Yeah.
She has. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
I'll tell you what. I'll share some information with you off air, and we can continue the conversation. For now, back to the phone lines east of the Rockies, Clifton in Wisconsin. I think we tried to get to you earlier. Clifton, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
What's the question?
Hopefully Hillary Clinton can do something for you. That'd be nice. But basically, I wanted to say, you know, I'm ashamed of my government for taking advantage of your citizens the way it is with this treaty. Sounds pretty messed up, you know. But I'm basically wondering how this has caused your fellow British citizens to think of America. I mean, what has this case done to the average British citizen, their thoughts of the American people and our government? You know, we've been the best of friends for like 60, 70 years, and then for our government to do this, it's just messed up, I think.
Well, British people have always liked American people, but it's the governments we're angry at. But we're actually probably more angry at our own government because we feel that they've sold us out. And basically, your government, it is taking advantage, but then again, how stupid were we with our government to actually sign this? People are more angry at our own government for doing this because we can't understand why they would. And also, recently, our Prime Minister went to the Chinese president and asked for clemency for a British man who was carrying large supply of drugs, I think it was heroin, in China, and they executed him. But our Prime Minister won't go to Obama to ask for compassion or clemency for Gary, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. He might have uncovered something that they didn't want people to know about. So
that's
I wish the best to you.
Thank you. But some people agree with you that they think perhaps he's unknowingly uncovered something. But thank you.
Thanks, Clifton. Yeah, this stuff about the secret space program, there have been hints about that from other sources over the last few years. And I'm sure that's a very sensitive matter, because if it's going on and it's not authorized by Congress and money is being diverted from other legitimate national security programs without anyone's knowledge, there's going to be some hell to pay. West of the Rockies, Mike in San Francisco. Hi, Mike.
Hi, George. Hi, Janice.
Hello.
I want to also suggest that you get in touch with Congressman Kucinich, who is very in touch with this topic, and has even stated so that he's seen UFOs, and I think he'd probably be very helpful for you also.
How do you spell his second name?
Can you give that to her later, George?
Yeah, I'll send that to you, Janice.
Thank you.
What I wanted to point out to you is, you know, what your son did, as far as I'm concerned, he acted as a whistleblower, and he should look into whistleblower protections, because for $800,000, I mean, frankly, there's a commercial running on Coast to Coast about identity protection and putting up a firewall so people in other countries can't find out your information. And that's probably even less than $800,000.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm very concerned about is, you know, these people that we elect to represent us, turn out to be governmentally ill and really abuse the constitutional aspect here. I would think that since China and other countries, so-called terrorists, have actually gotten into DOD, NSA, and other websites, that they really ought to be concerned about going after situations like that. I was in the Air Force, and I was actually accused of something similar shortly after 9/11. I had a box in my hand, and I was looking at a building that I used to work in that had been transferred to a different subcontractor for the Defense Department. Mm-hmm. They arrested me for being a terrorist threat for having this box.
Oh my God.
And what I found out when in this country, when they ask for you to plead guilty or not guilty, the only time you can do this is at that point. And I told the court I wasn't prepared to enter a plea at that time, but requested that the court allow me to consider a demurrer. It's spelled D-E-M-U-R-R-E-R. And the court had to provide me with all the discovery on the case against me. Basically, the demurrer is where you write up whatever they got against you in this case. So what? It doesn't add up to what constitutes a crime. And it sounds like what your son Gary was trying to do was get something that he basically could have gotten through a Freedom of Information Act. But this demurrer stops their ability to fabricate and make up and fake up any more evidence against you. They have to turn it over at that time. But guess what? And George, you remember the government workers at Area 51 who tried to sue the government and they couldn't do it because the government wouldn't give up the trade or the government secrets?
Yeah, I was party to that suit. We went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court in that case. Yeah, I was a party to it.
Well, I heard about it on Art Bell. I read that case. It was a civil case. I turned it inside out and backwards and used the jujitsu and tai chi in my favor by knowing ahead of time that when I asked for that discovery, they wouldn't want to give it to me for the same reason that they burned those government workers. It worked in my favor. They didn't want to give up the government secrets they would have had to substantiate their case. My case was dismissed.
Hey, Mike,
I'm
sorry to cut you off, but we're running out of time here with Janice. I appreciate the call. Janice, any comment on what Mike had offered there?
No, it's really a good idea. We can't do that here because they won't allow it. It's suspicion alone. They only have to have a suspicion, and we are not allowed to get discovery because we wanted to have that. The best thing we got was from the Crown Prosecution Service recently, which was they had to show what they had got from America, and all it was hearsay. There was no evidence, and the judge said there was no evidence, and America isn't required to give anything else. I dare say if Gary was ever in America, then he could probably ask for that. But apparently, if you're a fugitive, which they regard Gary as because he's fighting extradition, you don't have these rights.
Hey, Janice Sharp, I appreciate you coming on the program. I know it's difficult to talk about this, and we thank you for being with us. I hope you will stay in touch with me. We can't do this on the show every week, but every time I'm here, I can do an update if you'll give me the information. Hope it was worthwhile for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It was.
Thanks very much. I'll be back next week, everyone. Have a good week. This has been George Knapp on Coast to Coast. Good night, everyone.